I'm struggling tonight. I'm not going to lie. I've been singing in the shower in an effort to mobilise my lungs and get my bellows to produce oxygen. Several weeks of bronchitis have left me with a broken sounding voice that splits in odd places. I shoot for a sound, a familiar ping in my range. It's like the light being turned on in a dark room. It's the sound of finding the opening to things unknown. It's the path that I follow in a song when I've needed to tear it apart and suddenly it comes back together again. I've relied on this sound. I've been incautious and cavalier with it. Screamed over loud bands with no fear of consequence. Smoked thousands of cigarettes and told myself, it doesn't matter if it changes as I get older. It'll just get cooler. But that's just a crock of crap. I love this particular sound. As a child once said to me, it's like rainbows with sand in it. And I always believe children. It's undeniably me, and it's taken me to places I could never have imagined I'd go. So, when you wake up one morning and it's gone, it's a shock. It's a vacuum-sealed nothing, an absence, a bell jar, a trapped feeling with no way in and no way out. It's an instant trauma, and it's hard to overcome it psychologically. I'd had this once before in my life. I was pregnant with Gypsy and I'd developed a polyp on my larynx. I thought it may have come about from throwing up or morning sickness, as it wasn't from bad technique or yelling. I hadn't really changed much in my then 30-year career of singing, but my speech therapist said as she looked down my throat that the folds of the larynx are a lot like a woman's private parts and they respond to hormonal changes, swelling, thinning or becoming engorged. You are 35 and pregnant, and I'd say that's a significant change. She was pragmatic and supportive, and together we faced up to a very new technique for operating on the vocal cords. The upside was that the pain from the polyp would go away. The downside was that I may never sound the same again. I never had to consider what ifs back then. So cocksure I'd always been with my voice. It was like dying and having to choose what I'd come back as next time around. Sounds dramatic. Well, it was. My steady surgeon was a gruff but lovely man who operated in safari suits. We went into the theatre. I was laughing and trying to seem casual. He was kind and politely told me to shut up. He looked quietly into my eyes and without words told me he would do his very best to be the best surgeon for the job. I closed my eyes and felt the cold liquid death surge into my vein and said goodbye to my old voice. I was determined not to go to sleep panicking about something I couldn't control. And when I came out of surgery, he told me it all seemed to go well. He told me again to shut up for a couple of months, literally. I could not even utter a whisper. And I had a small baby. I was signed to start rehearsals for Dancing with the Stars. Ridiculous. I nodded and set about finding peace in my recovery. It turned out dancing was an unexpected therapy. My partner was a very broad and a very tall Maori with a lion heart. Without words, he held me and he instructed me through dance moves and hours of trust-building choreography that was to set us right through to the end of the show. The first night of filming was the first time in months that I could speak out loud. Daryl Summers turned to me with the mic and I opened my mouth and a sweet, husky, painless sound came out. My smile could have lit up the entire Empire State Building. My heart was happy, and my dance partner and I felt like we'd already won the competition in that moment. Lying in my bed the night before recording an album with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra to celebrate my Ruby anniversary, it was hard not to relive the terror of that feeling that I may not sound like myself. 3 years earlier, I'd invited my friend to arrange a record of songs that were personal favourites of mine across 4 decades, not even picking the most popular or the ones that were most likely to be requested. No, these were songs that for personal reasons had stood the test of time and been my friends for 40 years. One written for a grandma, now since passed, another about my misspent youth and first kiss, and another about my first heartache and betrayal. I'd asked him to create a new reality for me, mature and nostalgic, like Joni Mitchell's version of Both Sides Now from the soundtrack of Love Actually. So what was I worried about? A few cracks in the pavement? a few lines in an otherwise youthful face, a lower tone but a higher consciousness. These are things to be admired, not to be despairing over. But 3 years earlier, I was a different person. My heart was lighter. The world was not a broken place for me. It was like waking up to discover that I'd been living in a Truman Show and my life was my own to begin again with. And then I got sick again. I felt like I was dying. I wasn't able to breathe, and every cough, a jagging tear in my chest and lungs. I was aware as well that to be ill anywhere these days was a terrorist act. So I shut myself back in. And I took myself away from people and work, embarrassed to be ill, embarrassed to hear myself. So cut to, here I am the night before the session and I'm scared. I don't want to go to the studio. I'm scared to let the orchestra down. My husband, who's been a champion for this record all through COVID, or to diminish my friend's beautiful arrangements. Oh, what will I do? I barely sleep, and the next day I go into the studio where 35 years ago I recorded my first album, Brave, and here we are. Doing it all again. Be brave, Kate.